A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. How about this gospel passage? Talk about dramatic. It always amazes me that Matthew relays it calmly. I read it, or the presider reads it calmly, and the listener hears it calmly. Think about it for a moment. There's nothing to be calm about. There is nothing usual about the passage. Imagine Peter, James, and John are alone with Jesus on a mountain. And Jesus changes right before their eyes. His face shines like the sun, and his clothes become dazzling white. And then Moses and Elijah appear. I think this is very unusual. Imagine if that had happened right here before our eyes. And later, Ed and Leo go to Friendly's for breakfast. And the people ask, "Anything exciting happening at St. Coleman's today?" Do you think they would say, "Not too much. Jesus appeared and Moses and Elijah showed up. There was a voice from heaven, but other than that, not too much happening." I don't know about you, but these are not usual occurrences in my life. The story gets even more mysterious. James and John are silent in this gospel passage. Then Peter, who is hardly ever silent, wants to build three tents. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. These tents bother me. Why three? Wouldn't one big tent do? The more I sat with these tents, the more I began to realize that we often build tents to keep Jesus in. We like to keep Jesus contained. It makes him more manageable. We like to box him in, and we can do it in many ways. We can keep Jesus confined to Sunday space, in the confines of our parish church. And even a smaller tent would be to keep Jesus contained in the particular Sunday Mass that we usually attend. We can keep Jesus confined in our own heart, and develop a whole Jesus and me relationship. A tent for two, so to speak. We can keep Jesus contained in Lent, and during that time do special and extra things with him and for him. There are as many ways of keeping Jesus in a tent as there are people listening to me right now. And what about those other tents? The one for Moses. In Hebrew tradition, Moses represents the law, the guide for life for the Jews. How often we like to tent up what we profess to believe. We often don't let what we profess to believe take flesh in the way we live. It's easier not to mix the two. And then Elijah. Elijah was a symbol of the prophets. The prophets were and are those people who call us to look at our times critically, to look at the world we live in with the lens of faith and values and principles. Again, we often struggle to do that. It's a lot easier to think about what to do about immigration if I don't let Jesus get mixed up with it. So like Peter, we want to build a tent for the prophetic voices of our life, a separate tent for Jesus, and a separate tent for what we profess to believe. Notice, Jesus didn't take Peter up on his suggestion. Then the story really gets interesting. While he was speaking, Peter is interrupted and a voice said, "Listen." And it was not until then that the gospel says they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. Why then? Doesn't that make you wonder? If Jesus being transfigured before them didn't frighten them, if Moses and Elijah appearing didn't frighten them, why did the voice? I don't think it was the voice. I think it was the word, listen. There is something frightening about listening. If we listen, we might hear. And if we hear, we might understand. And if we understand, we might have to change. And change is often frightening. How often we say, "You're not listening to me." Wives say it about their husbands, husbands about their wives, parents say it about their children, children say it about their parents, politicians say it about their constituents, the people say it about the politicians, and the list goes on and on and on. Listening is a problem. For once, I think Peter, James, and John got it. They knew what Jesus was talking about, and it frightened them. To listen to Jesus, to hear what he is saying, and to understand his message is going to require us to make some changes in the way we think and act and live and love. And that often frightens us. When Jesus goes to them, he doesn't just say, "Don't be afraid." He says, "Get up. And don't be afraid." We cannot be afraid to live as Christians. We have to be willing to get up and move into the unknown and perhaps uncomfortable new places. We have to be willing, like Peter, James, and John, to go down from the mountain. We have to get up from this computer and go home, go to work. We have to go to all the places of the marketplace and bring the good news of Jesus Christ to a world that is aching to hear good news. Jesus tells Peter, James, and John to be silent about what happened. Now, before you breathe a sigh of relief, Jesus does not tell us to be silent. Listen carefully to the final words. Tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Jesus has been raised from the dead. So I wonder, why are so many of us still keeping silent?